Earlier this month, on July 8th, Pope Francis appointed new members to the Congregation for Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life. The new members included six superiors of women's religious orders, a consecrated laywoman, and the superior of the De La Salle Christian Brothers. Previously, the members had all been men, cardinals, a few bishops, and several priests who were superiors of large religious orders of men. Now, according to the Tablet, an international news weekly, the Vatican confirmed that this is the first time that women have been appointed to the congregation. Pope Francis also appointed the first women consultors to the Secretariat of the Synod of Bishops. Under his pontificate, the Synod of Bishops has become a crucial vehicle for setting the Church's pastoral agenda. These four women, three religious sisters, will be tasked with offering advice and strategic direction to the body which organizes the Synod of Bishops gatherings. The Synod office confirmed that they are the first female appointees to the Secretariat's all-male board of priests and a bishop. One of the new consultors, Sister Nathalie, told the Tablet that the appointments reflected the Pope's desire for greater female representation at senior levels in the Church. Sister Nathalie said, "He is asking for more women in leadership positions. I think Pope Francis and many people in Rome are aware that things have to change." Under this Pope, the Synod has been strengthened and used as a key deliberative body for Pope Francis in devising the Church's global pastoral agenda. Gender roles have been clearly defined since biblical times. To try to break out of the status quo often is to invite the opposite of hospitality, like resistance and ridicule. Well, today we find Jesus in the home of two women, Martha and Mary, enjoying their hospitality. Luke's gospel, more than any other, shows Jesus as a big fan of mealtime, always happy to be at table with religious leaders and sinners. Because the meal is an important theme for Luke, it would be unfair to think that Jesus is being dismissive of Martha's desire to set a fine table for him. For Jesus to be in the home of these two women alone, however, as he seems to be in this story, was shockingly countercultural. This would have been apparent to the original audience of this story, both that Jesus dared to be with women and to let them serve him, and that he valued them enough to offer to teach them. This is the only gospel story, except perhaps for the Samaritan woman at the well, in which Jesus is shown instructing women exclusive of the male disciples. As much as Luke emphasizes table fellowship, he also insists on the equality of women in the presence of Jesus. Hospitality and equality come together in the house of Martha and Mary as they prepare to enjoy a meal and the company of their Lord. So Jesus breaks with firmly entrenched gender roles, and Martha and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. Martha, concerned that Mary is causing scandal by doing so, and so she complains to Jesus, and he replies, "Mary has chosen the better part." So how does this speak to us 2,000 years later? More and more women are seen as breaking tradition and becoming involved outside the home, in science, in the arts, politics, and to a certain degree, the church in its various ministries, all of which have been the exclusive domain of men. And sadly, throughout history, the masculine gender has not been welcoming. Jesus wanted to lift the heart and perspective of Martha to consider the value of sitting and listening to him, as well as the value of working and toiling for Jesus. Both are important, and both must be kept in balance. Jesus loves both of these sisters. There is probably a bit of Martha and Mary in each of us. Ask yourself, which is your prominent character feature, Martha or Mary? If we are Mary most of the time, then at some point we must all get up off the floor where we have been hearing the words of Jesus and put them into concrete action. If we are Martha most of the time, remember that taking a break, recharging our batteries, taking care of our own soul, and spending quiet time at the feet of Jesus is just as important as one's work and accomplishments for the kingdom of God. To fail in that balance is to risk becoming weary in well-doing and to become angry and bitter in the very service that is meant to bring us and the world deep joy. So how do you practice hospitality in your life? If Jesus were speaking to you, what burdens and anxieties would he tell you to let go of? How might you find more time in your daily life to sit at Jesus' feet and just listen? So who is in charge of the hospitality in today's scripture? Is it Abraham and Sarah? Is it Martha as she prepares the meal? Or is it Jesus as he offers his word? At our Christian Eucharist, we may ask, who is host and who is guest? When it comes to dinner with Jesus, we are all equal at his table. And he is the one who serves, and he is the meal itself. As we come to the Eucharist today, where the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ, we ask for the courage to hear the words of Jesus. Mary has chosen the better part.